Hi, folks, and welcome back to the Dynamic Trio, Sharon, Kim, and yours truly. We're going to be talking about several different things today. I know it's just not going to stay on one topic, but this is a continual dialogue that we are going to have on these podcasts, and we know that's going to connect with you and touch your lives. So today, we're just going to start off with, you know, when we consider transforming culture according to the kingdom of God, what does that really mean? What does it look like? Do you understand all that that implies or all that that has to be done? And, you know, what is the kingdom of God? What does it look like on planet Earth? Well, if we look at our current culture and the way it is, it's completely opposite of the kingdom. So that should give you a great indication of what the kingdom should like by looking at our completely opposite society that we're living in. And everything that's been taking place this year and the coming years, well, you know what? If we are not rooted in Christ, then we're in a lot of trouble. But there is an evidence of transformation taking place in the lives of individuals, in cultures, in cities that we have been privy to over the past several months. And so we want to talk about this. We want to bring this dialogue to the top, where we're not a church, as you have heard us talk about before. We're just a group of individuals that want to reach out and connect with the lives of others, seeing culture transformed first in your life, because if you can't get a hold of the kingdom and the transformation, then we can't share it with others. But as kingdom ambassadors, we are the ones that are to spearhead a movement. We are a tribe of believers that want to see things change. We want to see church change from how it is. We want to see society changed because we know it's not going the correct way. So I'm just going to bounce it around these two ladies here, and it'll just come full circle, and let's just go for it. Ladies, let's start chirping away.
Well, I think Sharon should start because we were just having an exciting conversation that I think we need to capture for this moment, where you were sharing some concerns that have been on your heart this week, and maybe we can start there and bounce around.
My concerns have been, obviously, we're looking at a political landscape, and it's really not about who's on what side, but we're looking at things that are going on in our country. And it's just been very concerning to me that the way that our country is going, because there are so many people that are called into places of influence, and they have not really realized that they've been sitting in a church pew, they've not been educated, and their dreams, their visions they've really died, and they're really not doing what they are called to do. And there are so many people that are called to be in the political field, and so many in media and arts and entertainment, and these things really have been taken over for the kingdom of darkness, and there is so much corruption. And I really just feel that people need to be educated in who they are and what they're called to do, so that we can become an influence and take these things back.
Yeah, and so that really, that went further into the fact that what we're seeing as issues that need to have solutions, we're not seeing a church that is ready or available or
relevant.
Even capable, relevant, to solve these problems. It goes back to that scripture that the church is to be the head and not the peripheral to the world, and the world is to be peripheral to the church, which of course is the exact opposite of what we see today. We have religious dyslexia, church dyslexia, because we have churches that are just following what is being set as this is how we're going to do it, and they're modeling that. And we further took the conversation into a scenario that we've been watching this week with this young girl who's been sex trafficked since the age of 3. Her name is Allie. Allie's Army is her parlor name. She's been sex trafficked since she was 3 years old. She's now coming out with naming names, which I'm not going to get into here. You can go look it up if you're interested. But she's naming some pretty big names that were part of that underground of very nefarious, evil people who take advantage of children. And she was saying how the church is a place she can't go because so much of what happens inside the church walls triggers her memory of what happened when she was being trafficked. And I thought, I was disturbed by that, mm-hmm. how far away
yeah.
from the simplicity of the gospel the Church of Jesus Christ has become, that somebody who's in such great need and in such profound pain cannot walk into a church that you or I would exactly. consider our faith
yeah.
because it triggers them with the things that they're doing. It's become a show.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel, the simplicity of the gospel has been left behind for some sort of soundbite, I'm the coolest guy,
right.
you know, trendy church. And it is sad that this is where we're at. And even people who are there in the church have no clue who they are. You know, I had said before, and I've said this, you know, previously, you've got people still going up to the altar for the same thing after 25 years. They have no clue who they are.
Yeah.
They have no clue the power that's in them. And they're coddled and they are, it's almost like, you know, a minister that allows that is somebody who has to have that for their own ego or whatever it is that they need me. They need me
right, right.
rather than they need to get out and learn who they are and go be the church mm-hmm. in the marketplace.
Exactly.
The church isn't in the marketplace because the church doesn't know who they are.
Right.
Exactly.
And there's no urgency in large part. There are pockets of churches that do it, but in large part, there's no urgency to help people find who they are so that when they get in the marketplace, they feel confident that they can actually provide an answer, that they can be at the top of their game, that if somebody asks them about Christianity, they'll have an answer. Rather, you have people who feel condemned and, I don't know, maybe they don't pray a certain way every day or they forgot to read their Bible or whatever, and they're caught up in this facade of perfection as a Christian rather than the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to have special answers. They don't have to pray special prayers. They just have to be there and yeah. show the love of Jesus.
Exactly.
And that is being in the marketplace. But it's so twisted and it's so messed up that our country is in the nightmare that it's in right now because the church is a nightmare
mm-hmm.
yes.
in large part. It just don't get all, well, my church isn't great. I'm not talking about your church then. But in large part, the churches are a mess
mm-hmm.
as far as empowering people to go out
right.
and take over their cities, take over. Listen, you got Utah that's being taken over, has run by the Mormons. They've done it better than the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, they call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. but they're not. They're actually doing it. And here you have God's people who actually believe just the Bible and they can't, you know, they can't walk out of their house without a mask for fear they're going to get COVID.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean,
yep.
what kind of weak-kneed church is there right now in America? It is unsettling. It is maddening. And it bothers me.
Yeah. Well, as you can tell, there's a lot of passion at this table.
But you know, you're only in church one day a week. What are you doing with the next 6 days of your life? And how many people are you affecting? And that's the point of being in the marketplace.
Well, that is the whole point. And I think we've come from a standpoint for so many years that we have separated, the church has separated itself from culture, that when we do go to our jobs, we look at the lifestyles of the individuals that we come around and we start pointing fingers and condemning them for the lifestyle they live. And we give them the cold shoulder, we hold them at arm's length,
right.
and all we want to do is preach the gospel to them, telling them they're going to hell, their life's screwed up, and if they don't get right, well, we're just going to wash our hands of them. 25, 30 years ago, that's the way I was. Mm. And, you know, over the years, it's like we cannot treat culture this way. It's no wonder we can't get people to come to church, because they see us just as much as a hypocrite as they are. And so when we can turn things around and look at a person the way God sees them, the way that he has placed within them a purpose and an assignment to fulfill, then we can see through the glasses the way that God sees them and bring them into their purpose. But you know, we want to see transformation in culture, in society, and in all environments. Well, we got to start with the church. It's either that or we close the doors on the church and just go out in the marketplace and do what Jesus did and just be available and love people, bless people,
yeah.
Go to dinner with people,
yeah.
Meet them at the bar and have a drink with them if you need to. It's okay, because we're not meeting them right where they're at. We expect them to come to us all ship shape and Bristol fashion. Well, that doesn't happen. How did Jesus touch Zacchaeus' life? He called him out of a tree. And so, you know, let's go find a tree with somebody in it and embrace them, go to their home, love them, and show them the kingdom.
Okay,
but we're not doing that.
But we're not advocating sitting at bars either, because there's going to be some people that just dropped you when you said that. So we want to just make sure people understand that.
Well, you can drink a Coke.
Yes, you can.
Without any additional beverage inside it. So,
but people don't have confidence to go do that because they have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They don't feel like that they pray right. They feel like their pastor has to do that stuff for them, that the church has to have these evangelistic outreaches to they can bring people to. They have no confidence in who they are or knowledge of who they are in Christ. Yeah. The same mentality that makes them successful in the world and getting an education has completely disconnected from their Christian walk.
Yeah.
They have no understanding of taking time to learn about what it means to be a Christian, to learn their identity in Christ, to understand a kingdom mindset, to understanding the power that they have over sin and darkness and disease and poverty. They have no clue what they have. And so you tell them, just go into the marketplace and talk about the gospel. And they're just like, well, what if somebody has a question for me? I don't know the answer. Why don't you know the answer? Because I'm failing in my faith myself.
Exactly.
I can't figure it out for myself. I'm in poverty too. I'm sick too. I have a disease too.
Yeah.
People haven't figured out who they are. So their life is no better than the people in the marketplace. So they got nothing to say.
Yes.
They got nothing to say. But I mean, what do you expect from, you know, a system in most churches that the new member class consists of tithing, membership, and working inside four walls rather than God's love, identity, and kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're taking them back to old covenant rather than new covenant in a new members class.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell people, go out in the marketplace. They're like, I don't know.
What does that mean?
What if somebody asks me a question? They have no clue.
You're right. They don't have any clue.
They're just lambs to the slaughter.
Yeah.
And it's inexcusable.
But isn't it what is in the book of Matthew where, you know, the banquet was prepared and people were invited and they didn't come. And so the servants were instructed to go into the highways, into the byways, and to get these people because that's where they are.
Right.
You have to go get them. You can't expect them to just drive up to your church parking lot. You have to go to the bar. You have to go to the gym. You have to go to wherever they might be and bring these people in. That's the whole point.
Well, exactly.
That's the whole point.
You drink Coke at the bar and you don't take steroids at the gym.
There you go.
So,
Lord, we got to make all these qualifications for the Pharisees listening.
But that's what it's all about, though. It's going out on the street where the girls might be at night and talking to them and mm-hmm. saying, do you really want to get in that car with that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, let me take you out for a meal and buy you some nice clothes and let's have a conversation and make a, you know, a connection with people.
But people have no money.
It doesn't really
because
matter,
because we don't
it?
Believe in money in the church, right?
Oh, that's right.
No. Give all our money.
That's right. It's a bad thing, right?
We don't believe in the prosperity gospel.
So, you know, there goes the whole cycle of the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got no tools.
Right.
You don't have knowledge. You don't have money.
Yeah.
You don't have health. And then you're supposed to be in the marketplace.
Right.
And then we wonder why this country's in the mess that it's in.
Right.
Exactly. I've said that for years. The reason this country and the reason a lot of countries are in the state that they are is because the church has failed in its mission.
Correct.
Because the church has always gone out with an agenda to win souls, really, instead of loving people, because I think in a lot of respects it's become a numbers game.
Exactly.
If you can get more people in your congregation, that means more money and more people to help. And so when you keep them in the house, you don't release them to fulfill their purpose. Well, that's kind of like, that's backwards. That's, you've heard our previous podcasts on some of the topics as well. But there is such a need, there's a necessity, and there's an urgency for us to begin to connect with people in the outside world. And I don't mean just anybody. I mean those that you rub shoulders with on your job. What happens if you speak with a CEO? Do you come in contact with political figures or individuals that have philanthropic endeavors that they fund their money to fund other agendas that are contrary to the kingdom? Why not have a dialogue that could impact that person's life, that they come to step into the kingdom, and therefore the wealth that they have acquired, they can now use it to bless instead of curse? So there's a lot of things that are taking place. And where do we actually start? We're saying all these things. We're telling everybody what's wrong.
Yeah.
And what needs to take place. And they need to know the Word of God for themselves individually. They need to be self-taught. That can be dangerous too. So because when we read Scripture, we can interpret it according to our history, our experiences, and our past.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the resources, Kim, that you could direct people to that you have learned from that have made a significant impact in your life?
Yeah, so I would say the big turnaround for me came several years back when I stumbled on a series by Andrew Womack on YouTube called Killing Sacred Cows.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend it to anyone who has been in the church a long time and has just found that it's not working, you know? And that was the first series that began to open my eyes to the difference between the New Covenant and the Old Covenant and how I really was living my life based on works. And I had no idea that there was a new covenant that I was supposed to be basing out of.
Yeah.
I knew it in sound bites. I didn't know it in reality. I didn't know how it applied to everyday life. I just didn't, nobody explained that to me. And he began that conversation. From that, I listened to several of his other series, which are on YouTube everywhere. Everything's free. But then I think the other one that I would recommend is Dwayne Sheriff's series. And you can go to his website. His stuff is also free. I think it's PastorDwayne.com.
Okay.
And he has a series called Who Am I? On identity and who we are in Christ. And that's a game changer. That is a real game changer about who we are, the power we have, who Jesus is to us, what a father is to us, all of those things that are reality Monday through Friday, then there's Saturday, then there's Sunday. The application of daily life I got from those teachings. Yes, you hear, you know, interesting things on Sunday, but how does it apply to my life? They began the process of understanding the gospel as it applies to my life to make me successful and feel like I'm winning, rather than I can never get it right.
Yeah.
I can never get it right. And so those are the two that I would say are the big rocks. And then it opened up such a hunger for me that I listened to their teachings or teachings of others every single day. It's like it's a hunger to know more about who I am so that I can do more in the kingdom, but not in a works way where I'll get something from God for it.
Yeah.
Just in a, this is fun, let's go do this type of a way.
Yeah.
So those would be my two as far as foundational, baseline, Who am I? How do I answer people's questions? How do I pray for situations? What if I don't know what faith is? You know, everyone says you need more faith. You need more faith. Okay, great. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. So just those foundational questions that caused me to be defeated in my religious life, they answered in a very simple, reasonable, understandable way that made me feel like I'm going to do this. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost too easy.
It's almost too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's rules free.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a woohoo type of a way. I mean that in a, it's all based in God's love.
Yeah.
Yes, we make mistakes. No, we're not supposed to sin. But you know what? We're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And you just say, Father, I'm sorry. I missed it.
Yeah.
And then you move on and you keep going.
Exactly.
And it's so much simpler when it comes from a place of love rather than fear and rules.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand, you know, Andrew's initial message on stealing sacred cows, that God is not in control from the perspective of how church wants you to believe that.
Yeah.
Like, just sit back. God's going to just let it happen. No, there's a part we have to play in our own life.
That's right.
And in our own success.
Yep.
And in our own defeats or wins.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about God doing it for us. He's given us authority. He's told us to condemn things. He's told us to, you know, resist.
Yes.
Those aren't his job. That's ours.
Yes.
And so if from that perspective, he's not in control. So that whole message on sovereignty is so destructive to the body of Christ and for people feeling like they can overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that really opened that up to me and made me realize, okay, I have a part to play in this, and here's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand the field you're on, you can play a game a lot easier.
Absolutely.
But if you're playing baseball with football rules because you're still in the old covenant, you're going to get your butt handed to you every time.
Exactly.
And for decades, my butt was handed to me every time.
Yeah.
So those two, I would say, are the ones that really set me in the course of learning who I was. So when I got to the marketplace, mm-hmm. I could do what I needed to do.
Exactly. You didn't feel guilty about being successful in a worldly job because it was your kingdom assignment.
And I didn't feel intimidated by questions anymore. I felt like I had real answers that weren't religious cliches.
Yes.
Or, well, you just have to trust God or all those. I had real answers for people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal to feel like I have confidence that I can answer a question.
That's awesome. Well, I think we're going to just break from this podcast right now. We're trying to keep these to approximately 20 minutes a piece. So we do have a lot more to say, and we're very passionate, as you have already heard. So folks, stay tuned for the next podcast, and I know that you're going to be blessed just as much as you were blessed with this one. This is a phenomenal journey that we're on. God bless you. You have a great week. Bye-bye. We would all like to take the time to thank you for listening to this podcast today. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any future podcasts. You can also reach us on our Facebook page, The Filling Station. You can connect with us there, you can message us, and we'll get back to you with any information that you need. Thanks again, guys. Take care.